This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
And good evening to you for Wednesday, February 6, 2013. My name is Dr. Doug Kelly. Good to have you. And of course, I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening, Doug. Glad to be here. It is February 6th already. Holy cow, this year is going by really fast.
I know.
And we're still here.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have to throw it in.
I don't think we need to worry anymore about 2012. No. It's a done deal, huh?
Yeah, I think so. I think we're here for good. It means we got to keep paying our bills, Doug.
Darn it.
Yeah.
We'd like to welcome everybody listening to the live program with us tonight or this morning or this afternoon or wherever you happen to be on the planet. Good to have you. We also welcome those listening to the archive. Metaphysical Universe is a weekly service and educational program of the Metaphysical Church of Humanistic Science. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this weekly radio program, we also operate the Institute of Metaphysical Humanistic Science, where you can earn your doctoral degree in metaphysics in a variety of specializations, including spiritual counseling, coaching, holistic healing, paranormal science, and there are several others as well. If you'd like more information on that, please visit metaphysicsinstitute.org. If you're only interested in taking perhaps a shorter certificate course or a certification course, such as in paranormal or Reiki or something like that, visit our new site at newageclass.com. Before we get into tonight's program, we want to do our usual profession of beliefs. The spiritual philosophy of MCHS Church is based upon 9 principles of belief. These principles of belief are, number 1, as sentient and evolving human beings, we not only believe in practicing and living by the principle do no harm, but also in the principle of do right, thus enhancing the vibrational level of humanity. Number 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit to ultimately triumph in the face of any dilemma. The answers we seek already exist within us. Number 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems, and believe the roots of those solutions lie in exploring, understanding, and empowering the human condition. Number 4, we embrace the differences that make all human beings unique, recognizing that we all come from star material and are therefore equal, irrespective of heritage, beliefs, gender, or gender preference. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. Number 5, rather than a supreme being, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. Number 6, we believe the nature of a human being encompasses both the physical and spiritual aspect, and that human consciousness survives the death of the physical body in a coherent fashion. Thus, death opens a new chapter of life and conducts the individual into a higher state of existence. Number 7, we believe in self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will, and that these 3 synergistically create the goal of self-completeness. Number 8, we believe in the value of practical education, metaphysics, metapsychology, and life skills as a means of empowering the human spirit and enhancing the human condition. We maintain an open but grounded mind to potential realities as yet undescribed by science. And number 9, we believe that discovering the true nature of consciousness and human existentialism will ultimately have a positive impact on human evolution and peaceful coexistence. For more information on these 9 principles of belief, please visit mchschurch.org. We also probably should mention that we kind of have a new campaign or a little new thing that we've got going on at mchschurch.org. It's called the One Planet Accord, and it's kind of an agreement to promote equality, spiritual enlightenment, higher consciousness, practical life skills, much of what we've been talking about here in the profession of beliefs. And so if you go to mchschurch.org and if you look on the right sidebar, you'll see our new One Planet flag kind of waving in the wind, as much wind as there can be on a website. And if you click on it, it will take you to some information on the One Planet Accord. And if you like what you read, you can become a One Planet ambassador, if you will, and put the flag on your website. And you can also optionally send us your website title and the URL, and we'll put you on the list there. And that will, if nothing else, help with the search engine optimization. So anyway, take a look at that. Have I lost everybody, Vicki?
No, and if I can just say, the flag is awesome. Doug did a great job designing the flag and writing the page, the supporting page, and I really encourage people to take a look.
So thanks.
It's great stuff.
You're very kind. I got a couple of them ordered. I'm going to put one on a flagpole out here.
That's great, and hopefully not too distant future we'll have small ones. People can order big ones, but we'll have small ones for anyone who would like to purchase a flag.
Yeah, we'll get that going here shortly. We don't have the information on purchasing them up right now, but we will before long, once I can get the pricing and all so forth. So anyway, let's get into our program. Again, we welcome those who are joining us live. And those who are listening to the archive, wow, Lori already says she's got it on her website. Good deal, Lori. May the gods bless you, my child. All right. So, let's see.
You do that too well, Doug.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't get me started. Okay. Let's see. I'm going to my information. We've got with us a special guest. And of course, all our guests are special because it's hard to get on this show. Somebody around here, you know, just won't let anybody on. I don't know who it is. It's probably Vicki, but I'm not saying. Okay, it's not really her. It's more me. Anyway, but we do have a special guest. Her name is Bridget Goldworthy. She is a well-known psychic, and she's also a doctoral candidate at IMHS, and she's just a really nice person. Bridget, welcome to the program.
Yeah.
Thank you for having me.
Oh yeah, I forgot to mention she's live from Australia, where it's not
yes.
dark right now.
Yes, that's right. Yes, it's a lovely day here.
And you guys are kind of in your summertime, huh? Is it hot?
Yes, it is. It's been very warm and very dry, actually. We have a lot of trouble without not much rain here.
But you're on the west coast of Australia, which is, I think yeah. you're the only one I know on the west coast. At least mm-hmm. my knowledge, everybody else is on the East Coast or thereabouts, you know.
Yeah, that's right. There's a lot more people on the East Coast, and certainly in my work, I spend a lot of time over there as well.
Recovering the country.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
So tonight we are going to talk about connecting to and using psychic energy in your life, and there's some different components to this. One of the things we do want to kind of weave into the mix here is MCHS Church Principle of Belief number 2, which reads, "We believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit to ultimately triumph in the face of any dilemma. The answers we seek already exist within us." And it just, this topic kind of works in with connecting to and using psychic energy. But before we get into that, Bridget, you want to give us the Cliff Notes version of, you know, who are you, what do you do, and how did you get yep. doing that?
Yep. On paper, I'm a Reiki master teacher. I'm a clairvoyant. I'm a spiritual development teacher and mentor. And I also hold a diploma in crystal therapy, so I do like the healing aspect as well, energy healing. I also am accredited treatment practitioner with the relevant Reiki organisations, the Reiki Australia, the International Institute of Complementary Therapists. And I spend most of my time teaching. So I'll teach healing or I'll teach spiritual development. And I do that in different parts of the country here, but also by social media so I can open myself to that global audience.
Interesting. So this, and let's just mention it. We'll mention it again toward the end of the program, but you have a book upcoming here, coming out soon, right? You want to tell us about
yeah.
that real quick?
Yes. I have a couple of books on the go, but this one's coming out first. It's about totem animal spirits. So much like we have spirits and angels you can connect to, you can also connect to the spirit of animals. And the book itself is a collection of 99 different animals and channeled messages from them that will help you in your journey and help you grow and look at yourself and develop. So that's due for a release in a couple of months.
Cool.
Yeah.
And also mention your website, too, as we get started here.
Well, I just posted it in the chat. So
this is for the benefit of those listening to the archive.
Okay.
Okay. So my website, www.bridgetgoldworthy.weebly.com. And all the information about my courses that I run, my upcoming workshops, I'm yet to load that up, actually. I also have things like guided meditations there and information about me and contacts.
Great. All right. So this topic that we've got tonight about connecting to one's psychic energy, that was something that you were talking about in our, you know, as a kind of a precursor to the show. So what do you mean by that? What does it mean to connect to one's psychic energy?
To me, it means you're becoming aware, like you are aware that you have this other part of yourself. We talk about mind, body, spirit, but so many people only focus on the mind and the body and the emotional side of things when there's this whole other spiritual side. And to me, to connect to it, it's about just being in the present and being and looking and realizing that you have this extra sensory awareness and getting used to using it. And once we tap into it, it's consciousness. Once we realize that it's there, we can use it. It's got information. We can channel it and shape and direct it in what to do.
Okay. And, I mean, so what's the practical nature of this? How can somebody use it in a practical way on a day-to-day basis?
Yeah, so obviously, it ties in with having a spiritual journey. And in a practical way, they can use it to perhaps look at themselves and try and improve themselves, evolve their thinking, shift their way that they think. I find that everything to do with consciousness and psychic energy or that spiritual energy is kind of like brain training in a way, where we're just really analysing ourselves, I guess, but also wanting that to find things like healing for ourselves and healing past wounds and finding peace and what our purpose is, why we're here. So from a practical point of view, yeah, we want to tap into that information and learn about that energetic part of ourselves.
So you said that you kind of equated consciousness and psychic energy. Can you expand on that a little bit more?
I think once we realize that we have a consciousness, it's not just our own. We're not individual in our own consciousness that's separate from everyone else. Suddenly we can see that because we're all made up of that same matter, everyone else has a consciousness too. And to me, it blends in with, like we have a collective consciousness then, which then sort of permeates everything. It permeates your physical body, but also, you know, the universe, there's this unlimited energy out there that we have in us, but also outside of us and around us.
Okay. So what you're saying is that because we are conscious beings, we have this inherent psychic ability.
Yes. Yes, everybody has it. There's no exceptions. There's no exclusive club. Everybody has access to it as a part of them.
So how... Go ahead.
Yeah. Oh, and it's completely natural too. That's all.
Good points. And so how can you explain then why some people are able to, you know, get more information psychically than others?
Again, it comes down to awareness, I think. And also, some people have a lot of preconceived beliefs about what a psychic means or what they do, and that can limit them. I think,
So,
you got to explain to Doug how he can actually become aware of being psychic. He doesn't believe he is.
Well,
okay.
That's not entirely true. I mean, it's complicated. I'm a complicated guy.
You're pragmatic, and that's a good thing.
Yeah, I am very pragmatic, and I do have that analytical side, which kind of blocks some of it. But mine is more, and I think you'd mentioned this in your writing to me, mine is more on a clairsentient type basis where I just, and I call it my spidey sense, and I just kind of know.
Yeah, I totally agree with that, because I think you're very psychic, Doug. It's your capacity, like what your capacity is, in like what direction it takes or what form it takes.
And it can change. And sometimes, that's the thing, you know, I guess I said I'm not psychic in the way that some psychics are, where they can really dial in. I mean, like you, Vicky, and I'm sure like you, Bridget, just, you know, that's not my psychic way. Mine is just on a knowing. I just know it, and I don't know why I know it at times, and I've often equated it to patterns I pick up very, very quickly on changed patterns. Something just doesn't seem right. I can't explain it 100%, but that's what I've said. But
yeah,
so there's obviously things that block us.
So would you agree then, Bridget, would you agree then that everyone may have different attributes? Like somebody might be, if somebody would be giving attention to their consciousness or their self, it might be that they hear things or they smell things or taste things that connect with that psychic ability?
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. It's different for everybody. And that comes down to the clair gifts, if you've heard of those. We tend to have one that may be stronger than the other when we start out.
Maybe explain that. The clair gifts to our audience so that people can benefit to that too.
Yep, okay. So I'll just do the four main ones that we would be familiar with. So we have the clairaudience, which is the ability to hear. So hear information, psychic information. We have claircognizance, which is that clear knowing. So when you just know without any evidence prior, without any prior knowledge, you just know without doubt that something is going to happen or is the way it is. The other ones, which are the more popular ones, are that clairsentience and clairvoyance. So clairsentience is your empath ability, that ability to feel or sense information or spirits or information about other people as well, which is the most common one, and we can quite often take on those feelings, if you like, that belong to someone else as our own.
Mm-hmm.
And clairvoyance, of course, is the most widely recognized one, which is the ability to see. So we may have visions or, it's normally visual.
Right.
Do you find that you fall into all those categories, though, Bridget?
Yeah, I found with my own journey, which everybody's is so different, I became ill and I woke up in the hospital and it was like those were all sort of over at once. I think growing up... Yeah.
How old were you at the time?
This wasn't until I had my son, so I was 32.
So like 6 months ago, huh?
Not quite. But yeah, I do obviously in hindsight see that growing up I was definitely had the empath or that clairsentient ability going on where I really was very, very sensitive emotionally and took on a lot of everyone else's emotions, found myself as that counsellor type person, you know, that really is the signature of a clairsentient, So,
What happened when you woke up at this, you had been unconscious, obviously, and you woke up and the world was different?
I hadn't been unconscious, but I had been, you know, I guess asleep a lot because of the medicines and everything. And I woke up and still... thought you know, the nurses would walk in the room and suddenly I just knew what was on their mind and things like that. And I thought, wow, these are really good meds. Because you don't know what to think.
That's funny.
Yeah, and I was fine with that till I left the hospital and I thought, oh, this hasn't gone away. And my biggest...
Did you write it down, what you were taking?
No, yeah. No, it didn't occur to me to.
Sure.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, it was interesting. I think the biggest awakening, if you like, in that was I left the hospital and I went to the shops, the supermarket, and I was in the mall. And suddenly it was very overwhelming. It was like I was sensitive to everybody and just had information flowing through, like these big wide psychic gates were open and I had no control. So that really sparked a journey for me. And combined with having been so sick and facing my own mortality, I had this desire then to really embark on that spiritual journey and go, what is this? What is this sensitivity? What is this energy that I'm not used to? And really, I'm very analytical as well, so I really wanted to nut it out and get to the bottom of it. And it really it sparked a very deep journey within. It made me look at myself very deeply and want to be a better person in so many ways. And that's what we normally find in a spiritual journey. And for most people that want to connect to this energy or to spiritual beings, they want that for themselves to improve and grow and learn and be better and bring in that peace and happiness.
Good points.
Do you find in your experience that people are inspired to want to know about consciousness and their sense of spirituality by a trauma?
Yeah. I think it's, anything that's life-changing like that, it tends to spark in somebody those big questions. We suddenly forget about our physical reality, this material world where, you know, things like traffic annoys us. And suddenly we look, have a life-changing moment and then ask those big questions. Why am I here? What is my purpose? Those kind of things. And it gives us an awareness of there must be something more about this human life than just this material world that I'm living in.
So I'm fascinated, after you had this, obviously this experience, that I really want the name of that drug. I'm kidding, really. So you found, as you began to decipher this, like through your own process, you learned that you're all of, you know, like the clairsentient and the clairaudient, and you, how did you then learn to kind of pull it apart, decipher it, and then direct that energy? Because that's a tough one when you get it so overwhelming like that. It's awesome.
It was very overwhelming, and you know, for the first 3 weeks, I think I just hid inside my house, freaking out. I did. You know, you think you're going crazy, and you know, obviously, I found a way around that. But again, I guess because I'm so naturally analytical anyway, I sort of would step back and detach from how I was feeling and go, why? And suddenly I was just recognizing different things, like I could see, I could hear, I could feel, and I could know stuff, random stuff. So I would then focus on which one, you know, like wake up that day and perhaps see a vision of something. And so I really would pour my focus into that one. Why can I see this stuff? What does it mean? How does it happen? And I realized very quickly that in our human body, that energy needs to communicate with us through our senses. How else can it? So I guess I understood that that was me interpreting the information from that energy, which to me is just, there's so much infinite wisdom there and knowledge there. It would come to me in the way it felt it could communicate the best, which would be via a vision or via a sense or by just hearing words.
So where do you think that's coming from?
To me, I like to think of it as the universe, if you like, and I think that consciousness is not separate from it. I think it's all intertwined and permeates everything, almost like life force energy.
So it could still say that the answers we seek lie within us.
Yes, absolutely. absolutely. I still think that even if you communicate with spiritual beings, I think really you've just manifested them with your, from your own thoughts or intentions, generating and shaping and directing that universal energy in what to do, so that you can relate, because we can all relate to a person, or, you know, again, we've got to use what we're used to and what we can, what can help us relate it to our human life.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm interested, if I may,
when
you found that, because here's what I think, too, that when we open that channel and we get a lot of information that's even random, it doesn't mean we're supposed to do anything with it. It's just, I think when you open a door, there's a floodgate. So it's also about kind of deciphering what belongs to you, what doesn't belong to you, what's relevant, not relevant. And, geez, you know, it doesn't mean you have to go like on a ghost whisperer mission, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree. The novelty, if you like, of having that overwhelming information, once you get used to it, you think it's great. But the novelty wore off very quickly, like this is no way to live. So then I, again, went into, right, how do I control this and fine-tune it? Because if it's not going away, then I need to really look within now and go, okay, I need some strength about me here and some backbone, and I need to learn how to use this energy properly and responsibly.
So how did you do that?
Yeah, good question.
Sorry, Doug.
Yeah.
No, same question.
Yeah. Actually, I found the most effective thing for me was, again, to use the power of my mind, if you like. So to me, it really does come down to how your thoughts or intentions shape and direct energy in what to do. If you put it out there that you would not like any random messages to come through at this moment while you're at the shop, for example, then if it's set with a strong enough intent on your, you know, from all levels of your being, then it won't. It will listen to you. It will do what you're directing it to do, just the same as if you really want to connect with an angel and you get a sense or vision of one. It's because you've set a strong intent to, so it's just doing what you're asking. It's the same as,
No, sorry. Well, I think what you just said is really important, because I think this is a misconception that if I have psychic abilities, it means I have to put it somewhere. What you're saying is all of the random caca I don't need go away. And I think that's really a neat thing. You know, I think that it's like, if this isn't useful for me, then I don't need it. Give me the useful stuff.
Exactly. And it's that simple.
Awesome.
People think it's got to be complex and this big deal, but actually I find the further I go along, it's more simplified. You know, it really comes down to your thoughts and your intentions.
I really like that approach. I think that's great.
And I think that's, it's obviously deliberate intent is the stuff of consciousness. I mean, it's how we use it. It's how we make things work. It's like, if you want something and you visualize it and you think about it and you work toward it, you get it. It's just the way things work. But the other little, how do I put this? The other little side to this is what I've long believed, that there is almost an unwritten or unspoken rule of free will that permeates consciousness and any enlightened beings, that they must observe that. They must respect that free will. And so what you're telling me here is that instead of the tail wagging the dog, you know, from a psychic control point of view, we can simply say, not right now, not now. And it must be observed. So there's this way, it's part of the cosmic law of consciousness. It's this way that we direct it through deliberate intent.
Interesting. I really like that approach, Bridget. Dan has got a question here in the chat. In some cultures, they felt that their psychic powers were strengthened by certain drugs. Do you think this is the case as far as relaxing the conscious part of the mind, or do you think it in fact blocks the ability to receive psychic messages?
I don't think it blocks the ability, but I do think it can possibly make you misinterpret information.
Ah.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Very good point.
Yeah, easily, because you're not in your usual mindset, if you like, yeah.
So let's explore that a little bit, interpretations. You get this information. Do you have any tips on interpreting it? What should we do with it? How do we know?
Again, it comes down to knowing yourself really well, because I find that some of the messages I receive will either be literal or metaphorical in meaning, and sometimes you need detective work to figure out why you're being shown something. For example, you know, I love my clairvoyance. So if I see a four-leaf clover, to me, I know that means Irish. Okay, this person's got Irish roots. But to someone else, they might see that and go, oh, that means good luck. So yeah. You know what I mean? You've got to really be able to know yourself well and interpret your first initial thoughts on what you think something is, rather than going, oh, I think it's this. Oh, but hang on, it might be this, and go on this journey of questioning and doubting and then just stuffing the flow up. It's just got to be kept simple.
I think that's really important. I have tried to explain this very same thing, because when I have seen certain symbols, I try to preface and qualify to people, that's not what it's going to mean to everybody else. That's my...
Yes.
That's the way my brain is programmed to interpret, and that's my internal belief system, if you will. So that's how I translate. You know, I've often said this, that Christians will not see Buddha in a vision, you know, and Buddhists won't see Muhammad. So it's however we relate to, you know, and
yeah.
The perfect story of this is I once told an old friend that I had the spirit visit me, and this wonderful, beautiful woman in about her 30s with this blue dress on, and she goes, oh, you saw the Virgin Mary. Well, you see, it didn't occur to me it was Mary, but, you know, I let her have her moment, because that was her interpretation.
Yes, very important, yes. I always say to my clients or my students that they should take what resonates and leave the rest. If they really feel that something I've interpreted actually means something else, then they should go with that flow, because they know themselves best.
You know, Lori has another comment here. She says, on the other hand, do you feel there are some common things we eat or drink that can have a positive or negative effect on psychic abilities, such as some people say that caffeine can block psychic abilities? Well, I'm a coffee freak, Lori.
That's my problem right there.
Yeah, sorry, I'm a coffee freak as well.
Look, I think
that, again, what intention are you setting then? Are you setting that intention and belief that the wrong foods are going to stop that flow and inhibit your ability? Or do you set the intention that actually my diet's irrelevant, this is about my mind and channeling, and so I'm going to be just fine? I think you can also go, all right, you know, obviously we need a reasonably good diet in order to function in a healthy way. So I would never recommend we keep, you know, eating and drinking bad. I would say, though, with water, I find that water acts like this universal conduit. And if we've had lots to drink first, before we start doing any psychic work or tapping into that consciousness or that energy, I find it's a lot easier and a lot more smoother flow if I'm hydrated.
Yes, I appreciate that,
that sense.
Too. You know, one thing I would like to just throw in there is when people have asked me about it, you know, geez, they had this extraordinary experience and they had visions. One of my top questions, though, is do you take drugs of any kind? Because
right.
it's just that sometimes these things can happen randomly. You know, if somebody, and this is no judgment, people who take marijuana or people who are on antidepressants or any kind of mind-altering drug, but I think it also affects the interpretation of what they're experiencing. Would you agree?
Yes. Absolutely. I mean, how can you interpret, how do you know that you're interpreting properly if you're not in your usual state of mind, if you like? If you're influenced by other things, you can absolutely, skew if the information, yeah.
I guess I have to give up the ayahuasca, right? LSD and all that other stuff.
Yeah. Well, you know, you can free your mind, Doug, but where would go?
Yeah. Yeah, who would want to do that, right?
I think, you know, I can say that, you know, like some drugs can bring on paranoia in some people. So if they're going to have some way out experience that they think is psychic experience and it's a negative one, you have to question if, because that drug has made them or brought on this paranoia or this fear, then, you know, do you see how I mean? That may not have been interpreted correctly, or they've just tapped into the wrong thing, the wrong information, you know what I mean?
Yeah, or it's just their brain getting in the way.
Yeah, yeah.
Chemicals and that sort of thing. And, you know, and that, so that here's a question, you know, in terms of negative or positive psychic experiences, I mean, is there one more than the other? I mean, is a negative psychic experience something that is not correctly interpreted, you know, or are they real? Or
to me, again, that comes down to your mind, your state of mind. I think if you really battle within yourself, then you're going to find this psychic energy that looks like a battlefield of dark versus light. It's going to reflect what's in you already. If you have a stronger mind where you really believe that you are safe, you are happy, then, of course, you're going to see all things beautiful and bright.
Ah, so happiness is where you see it. Positive stuff is where you see it.
Yeah, and it's about training, really, if that's what you're seeing. You're just training yourself to stay positive and happy, because that's where you are in your most healthy state, where you can learn the most, be the most receptive with clarity, you know, and all the rest of it. So, yeah.
What about people who want to have a psychic experience, like see their deceased mother? And, like, they're really positive. They believe they are. They're positive, and they're wanting that, and they're doing everything they can to manifest it, but it doesn't happen.
Okay, yeah. So I think a lot of people, when that happens, they go into doubt or disappointment where they've had this big expectation. Sometimes, you know, it's different for everybody. I think some of us are better at it than others, and it's just a matter of awareness and practice. Some people are under a bit of illusion, if you like, that if you, it's like going to a McDonald's drive-thru where you place your order and then 5 minutes later it should turn up at the window, you know. It's not the case.
So it's unreasonable expectations.
Yeah, you shouldn't have any. I always say that. Don't have any expectations. Really, what needs to be done first is to be aware of your consciousness and aware of that energy and of just being in the present, without any of this physical material world stuff going on in your head. You need to shift and detach from that. Once you can do that, that's when you're going to open up that channel.
You know, I would agree with that. I think that a lot of folks have the wrong expectations when it comes to psychic stuff, especially if you're trying to develop your psychic abilities, because no psychic is 100%, and no psychic can just, you know, it's, they can't dial up a phone number and talk to the spirit, you know, in question, you know, and it just, I mean, sometimes it happens, but it's not like there's a lot of that control. It's like there's this buffer between this side and the next. And I mean, I've had my own experiences with, you know, I've been, for years, I've wanted to contact my dad, and it just, it's rarely happened when requested, but every now and then I get this feeling that he's here. It's out of the blue, and I don't know where it comes from. It's just out of the blue. I'm not thinking about him. I'm doing something else and thinking about something else. And then it doesn't happen very often, very rare. But when it does, it's like I've got this feeling that he's here. And, you know, can I talk to him like I'm talking to you? No, but, you know.
Well, you could, I think. Yeah.
Well, next time I'll try. I do try. I do talk out loud like I'm talking to you, but I will have to pay closer attention. Well, you know what? And I do get that, too. I did a test here a couple, 3 weeks ago, but it wasn't my dad. It was Thomas Francis.
Ah.
And he just stopped by. I mean, these are the things that just pop in my head. So how do I know? Is that really Thomas Francis, my, brother from another mother, or, you know,
yeah.
What is it?
I don't know if it really matters who it is.
Yeah. I think
it matters to me.
I think we really need to trust that it is. Instead of, you know, we've got this habitual behavior where we have an experience like that and automatically go into doubting its authenticity.
Oh, I know. I'm terrible at that. You know, and I've started to trust more. You know, and again, Vicky's got a point. You know, does it matter?
Mm.
You know, does it matter whether it's real or not? You know, did the effect find a home? Did it encourage? Did it remind you of something pleasant? Did it did it help? You know, that was the point. And so
open your consciousness.
Yeah.
Yeah, beautiful.
There's another question Dan has in the chat room here. How closely related to psychic ability is seeing auras and reading auras? I'll let you answer that. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think it's all from that same realm of universal energy. With that, again, we're just setting the intention to do something different. So we might set that intention to use that energy for psychic information or to see an aura or to do a healing. It doesn't matter. You can use it for whatever you need to. So I think it goes hand in hand. It's one and the same.
Would there also be the interpreting of it too? You just really piqued my interest right there when you said about doing a healing, perhaps, you know, explain how you would do that.
How I do healings?
Well, do you see auras, and would you know what you're looking at and what you feel is where it belongs kind of thing, or what would you do with it?
Yeah. So, yes, the visual would kick in, the clairvoyance, and I would see them in my third eye. It's not always about what you see in the physical. And what I do is some people make that mistake of running off to Google and dialing it. Oh, I saw an orange one. I'd better check what meaning it is. Instead, what we're meant to do is go, okay, I'm in this moment. That's what I see. Now, what do I feel? I'm going to use my other senses now and go, what does this orange aura mean for that person? Because what Google says might be completely a different meaning to what it means for that individual.
Ah.
Yeah. So, you know, Google or books are a great guideline. But we really need to be in that moment and feel and use our senses and receive information. Yeah.
I love that because I have often laid a spread of tarot cards, and what I feel from the individual and what I see in the cards is like, well, this isn't even close.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm thinking this could be their fantasy land, you know. This could be, you know, their sister's reading, you know, any number of things. So I always go with my feeling, not the cards.
Yes, definitely.
Good
point. Yeah, I agree.
And I just want to, I know we've got somebody on hold, and hopefully you're just dialed in to listen to the program. We are, and I should have mentioned this kind of at the outset, but we don't have a call screener at the moment. Our Dr. John Hightower has moved on and is enjoying life at the moment.
He got married and went to another planet.
Yeah, and he's very happy, and so I'm
told. We give him many, many congratulations, John, too.
Yeah, so we're without a call screen right now, and if you happen to be an IMHS student listening to this, I do have a post in the student forum looking for an intern to do call screening for a bit, so the information's in there. Anyway, so what I'm trying to say here is that we really don't have the ability right now to take any call-ins because I'm doing everything and I can't put everybody on hold because it would put the whole world on hold while I screen the call. So,
anyway. Doug is a master multitasker, so taking on one more thing is too much.
Yeah, so anyway, I wanted to spit that out while I was thinking about it. So we also want to touch a little bit more on connecting with spiritual beings as well as animals and the role that both of those play in one's developing spirituality. You want to talk a little bit about that, Bridget?
Yeah. Sure. So in how to connect with these beings, if you like.
Sure. And just how connecting with spirit beings or animals can help in one's spiritual development. And if you want to throw in there how to connect, that's fine.
Yeah, okay. So in how to connect, obviously things like meditation or that intention, it's all about the brain training. So, and keeping our heart open, this kind of thing, not having those expectations and having that trust. It's all sorts of things we've talked about anyway, I think. But in, sorry, I've lost my...
That's okay.
Well, how would somebody determine then what, like in your teachings, how would somebody determine what would be an animal they would relate with?
Okay. Yeah, so with the spiritual beings or the animals or ascended masters, any of those things, normally we're going to attract the ones to us that have some quality that we need or would benefit from to improve ourselves. That's why we're projecting out that energy, if you like. It's all about that journey within and improving. So let's say we have somebody who is lacking confidence, then we might find that they have a lion turn up, because we all know lions are about courage. So then they can actually perhaps tap into that energy and feel what it feels like to have courage and take that on for themselves and learn from it and use it and then keep moving forward.
Interesting.
And the way that they would tap into those beings, if you like, is by using their senses. So using the feeling, the seeing, the hearing, the knowing.
Well, let's talk about that for a second. Apparently I am sending out a deliberate intent on how to be a rascal, because these raccoons came here the other night and stole my bird feeder, took it right off the post. I had two of them matching. They're side by side, full of seed, and darn things climbed up the thing and literally removed it and dragged it off somewhere. I haven't seen hide nor hair of it. Couldn't find it.
Actually, raccoons are very industrious.
Oh, man. They are
amazing. And relentless. Relentless and industrious, Doug.
And they don't take themselves too seriously either, because the cats can smack them around, and they just kind of walk away a few feet and let the cats calm down. Then they get back at it. You know, it's like they're in total control. So...
Yeah.
I got to do something about it. I don't want to be a rascal.
That's, again, your interpretation.
yeah, I'm
kidding, though. I was going with the industrious part myself.
Oh, well, thanks, Vicky.
I think raccoons are very good also at using different
tools.
I don't like the word mask, but... You know, like we can use a different image of ourselves for different scenarios.
Ah.
Doesn't mean so we're not necessarily being untrue to ourselves. We're just tuning ourselves into what's appropriate in certain situations, and that can change. So, for example, how you are at work would be different to how you are at home in some circumstances. So perhaps by raccoon coming in, it could be something to do with that where, that many scenarios, need to do something different with how you're portraying yourself in a certain situation.
Okay, well, I'm going to go with the brilliant, industrious, smart
kind of guy.
Can do anything they want, you know how to remove a bird feeder hanging on a pole and take it away. So,
but you know what you're talking about, Bridget? Many years ago, I did a session with someone to go deep inside myself and find one of those little critters, you know, so went through a forest, find that cave in there, and there's a big roar, and of course, I'm going on my little psychic journey into myself, and I'm encouraged to face that cave, and I said, no, I'll call that sucker out, thanks, I ain't going in there. So out walks this little skunk, do-do-do-do-do-do.
I'm not touching that one.
Now, you see, you talk about the interpretation of it, because I'm thinking, whoa, you know, giving off odors. And what was brought to my attention at that moment was skunks are relentless. When they get their teeth in, their jaws just clamp shut, and they don't let go. And I went, oh, yeah, I guess I am like that. You know, and so it was about learning when to let go.
Wow, there you go. Yeah, exactly. Everyone's interpretation will be different, and you've got to apply what you think it means for you.
Yeah, that's good, you know. And so one of the things I want to do, and I appreciate where you're coming from in a lot of this stuff, is what's the message in it for you? For example, you know, I could take anybody and point to a building or any object and say, look at this, study it. What do you learn from this object, from this building? What is it about it that you can relate to? And we can draw lessons from about anything. And so when these things happen, what's the lesson in it? How does that help us to know ourselves better? How does it help us along our spiritual journey? How does it help us to increase our conscious awareness, not only of where we're at in life, but the plight of others or the circumstances of others and all of that stuff? So it's not like we're talking about some stuff that's way out on the fringe. We're talking about stuff that's real, that's quantifiable, that happens to all of us, that we can all identify with. That's good stuff.
Yeah, in everything, I agree. You know, you could look at a plant or an animal in a zoo or whatever and still look at the energy and what you're picking up about it, and it causes you to go, okay, I've received this information, how do I feel about it? What does it mean for me? And improve yourself. You learn a lot more about who you are and living that full human existence. Right. Rather than being stuck inside the material world. Yeah.
So, sorry. Go ahead. You go ahead, Vicky.
Well, I have a question. Do you speak with entities, spirits or otherwise?
Yeah. Look, I started out doing that all the time. But after a while, I realized that they really were just reflections of me and what I needed. And so now I sort of flip between the two, where some people you'll find are happy to just not need to attach to an entity. They will just channel or receive information from the universe, or you like, or from within.
Higher self.
Yes, higher self, absolutely. And without that need to attach to an entity. And I tend to flip between the two. And that is because I find when my thoughts are very strong and I'm feeling really good and centered, I don't need them necessarily. But other times when perhaps I'm going through something emotional, I find benefit in communicating.
Company.
Yeah. And I find that a lot of people who go for that angelic experience or the Ascended Masters really are benefiting from emotional healing or resolution in some way.
I think that's interesting too, because people have often asked me about, you know, where I might get my information. And I said, I don't really care. You know, I mean... If there's spirits there, I don't ask them their name. It just flows.
Yeah.
So I like what you've said. There's other times when I'll tell you an imagery is very clear. The voice is very clear. But again, how is it? I sometimes think that's presented in my unconscious, so I can get it and relay information that's relevant.
Yeah, I find I'm the same. I don't really care how I get the information as long as I get it. And what I find with clients is quite often every experience will be totally different to the next. And that's because you're channeling for them. So the information you're getting is what they're going to relate to the best. It's also got to be in a way where you can interpret it successfully. But ultimately, it's their information. It doesn't belong to us. So you're going to see what is going to help them connect and understand and improve, rather than us.
So do you very often do readings as well for people? Bridget, can people get a hold of you for that?
At the moment, no, due to my other commitments with teaching and writing, but I have been. I've done hundreds and hundreds in the last couple of years. But I probably won't return to that. I can here and there, but probably won't return to that later in the year.
But people can get a hold of you through through your website. And is there other ways people can connect with you?
Yes, I have a Facebook page which is very popular. It's called Bridget Goldworthy Clairvoyant Healing. And you can interact there with me daily and ask questions there.
Ah, a Facebook junkie.
Mm-hmm.
Me too.
Oh, yeah.
I am too. I am too. You know, isn't it interesting that used in the right ways, I really appreciate these media such as Facebook, because we meet lots of different kinds of people, and the information, things that we can learn that way are, you know, really amazing. So if everybody who is listening in our archives, if you just want to say that again for everybody.
My Facebook page.
Yeah.
Facebook.
Yep. My website, www.bridgetgoldworthy.weebly.com, and my Facebook page is Bridget Goldworthy Clairvoyant Healing.
You know, because this hour has just gone by so fast.
It has.
We're nearing the end of the hour, and I've completely enjoyed this. I think it's not only is the information great, but you're completely delightful, Bridget. So thank you very much for joining us today.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much. It's been wonderful to be here. Thank you.
Yeah, you've got a good approach to understanding stuff in a very grounded and meaningful way, and I appreciate that a lot, because there's so many out there who just want to make it so much more fringy than it really needs to be. This stuff that we've talked about on previous shows too, energy signatures and vibes, and it's stuff that we deal with every day. It's real stuff. It's not some conjecture, some speculation. So I really appreciate the approach you take, and thanks for taking your time out today too to be with us.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, it's great having you tonight. It's great having you as a IMHS student, and I'm sure that you'll set the world on fire too, but not in a bad way.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, it's been a great show. Thanks so much, Bridget. And again, thanks to all of our listeners. And we keep going up every week, Doug. It's awesome, and thanks for everybody's support. So we'll be back again next week.
Yeah, we will. You guys have a great week. Thanks so much for joining us. And until next week, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. And I mean, really live. Have a great week, folks. Good night.
Good night.